Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. You know I'm honored. This platform is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly. You're changing the world, you're innovating, you're doing it all. And I am honored. That's why we celebrate you here on this particular podcast. Yeah, we do. And you're listening to the number one industry-related podcast in the universe. That is my story. That is what I'm sticking to. Again, thank you very much. We have a great interview. We've got a gentleman by the name of Johnny Bofilios and Ruben Stanchel, and they're with a great company called Copperleaf Technologies. They're out of Canada. We're going to be talking a lot about making better decisions. Let's get going. Yeah. Looking forward to this conversation. It was a great interview. We were doing something different, a lot more fun. We were doing a little cigar and bourbon type of roundtable with these two gents, and it was great. Because here's the thing. Once again, elephant in the room. We're talking about COVID. What are we going to do? What are we going to do post-COVID? What are we doing from a business perspective? And I've been hammering on, and these are just from feedback that I've been receiving from great leaders within industry. We need to collaborate. No excuses. You do not have the answers, all the answers. You might have a little portion of that little answer, but when you start to collaborate and you bring in a room a lot of other thinkers, yeah, you're making better decisions. Two, innovate. Not just from a technology point of view, but how do you innovate your business from the human side all the way through to technology? That's what we're talking about. How do you take action? You can't just sort of sit there and chit-chat and talk about it and just feel good about yourself, and you need to take action. And it all gets down to making better decisions faster. That's what it is. You distill all that down. You want to make better decisions from a business perspective? Collaborate. You want to make business decisions, better business decisions, as fast as you can? Technology, people, you got to do that. And you know those folks, and this is just sort of a segue right into our interview. Once again, it's making better decisions with a level of confidence faster. Because if you're not thinking about speed, just telling you right now, you need to be agile, you need to be nimble, and you need to be making decisions faster with greater confidence. That's technology. And I'll tell you right now, Copperleaf, when we were chit-chatting over a fine cigar and bourbon, we were talking about how do you do that? What do you do about that? It gets down to data, right? And then the ability to bring in the human element to be able to make those decisions with a higher level of confidence, reducing that risk. And the Copperleaf technology, they have that platform. You can have all these legacy systems out there generating, but that middle layer, that technology in the middle that's just helping you feed and decipher that data, powerful. And you're going to need that. You're going to need that now because you need to make your decisions much quicker, and they have to be greater with a greater level of confidence, right? Makes sense. I mean, try to change my mind on that you want to make better decisions with a high level of confidence faster. Tell me why that's not good, because it is good and it is necessary. And companies that do it well are going to be grabbing market share. So anyway, here it is. This is Johnny Bofilios, let's say Bofilios, and Ruben Stanchel. And he's going to say, Scott, you didn't mention my name. But it doesn't matter. They're both incredible guys. This is the first in the series of Cigar and Bourbon and Great Conversation. Enjoy the interview. All right, Johnny and Ruben, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. You know what I like? I like the fact that your company's name is Copperleaf. I don't know why. It just sounds like a cool name. Do you know that's cool? You guys, you know it's cool, right? You know it's a cool name. You got to speak up. Come on. You know it's a
beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, baby.
It's going to be a long-ass podcast if you got to don't freaking participate.
Like, well, if you know the story about Copperleaf, the company, you know, being that it's based in Canada, right, and you have the maple leaf, so they said, hey, we just call it Copperleaf. So then we have all these little badges when we go to, when we travel, with these pins that we put on. It's the, everybody always has to ask you, is that a maple leaf? And it's a Copperleaf. So
cool, boy. Well, I like that a lot, man.
It's so, a copper maple leaf.
So you look at
it's a copper maple leaf.
Yeah, but it still is. I'm surprised that how long has Copperleaf been around?
I'd say it's going on 16 years now. So okay. It's been
the domain name was easily acquired. Because it seemed like, wow, man, I got Copperleaf. The domain is taken. So then you got to put a hashtag in it or something like that. Okay, you listeners out there, we are, this is really the first and hopefully of many that we can kick off a cigar. Because Rubens, we got to say pipe because he's smoking a pipe. We're smoking cigars, pipe, and bourbon in many, many forms. I'm drinking an old fashioned with old granddad. And what do you guys, what are you doing there, Johnny?
I'm drinking a Weller. So I think it's a special reserve, you know, just, you know, comes from the Pappy family. So if you can't afford the Pappy, you step it down to the Weller.
I was going to lie to you guys. I'm going, yeah, I'm doing an old fashioned with Pappy. And you probably, what are you doing? No, I wouldn't do that. The head explodes. And you, Ruben, what do you got?
I got a Pappy 25 and Coke. when you step it down from the Weller, you end up with your granddad. 114. Freaking yeah. Awesome little bourbon. I tell you what, I'll tell you a story. We were doing some business in Kentucky, Owensboro, matter of fact. And you know, you get through your day, meetings, business, whatnot, you ask the customers, hey, where do we go to grab a good dinner? So they tell us this little spot downtown. It's literally an old house that's been transformed into a restaurant, and it's got this little cool bar in the basement. So obviously we ended up at the bar. And the call to fame for this bar is the fact that he's got 300 plus bourbons. He claims that he's got more bourbons than any other establishment in North America. A little bit grandiose, but once you
I always say that this is the number one podcast in the universe. So
there you go, right?
And industrially... And I'm not competing with the other ones, but I understand the necessity to shoot high. Continue.
So there you go, right? We're sitting at the bar. We're sitting next to this guy. And imagine Colonel Sanders stepped out of a KFC commercial that's sitting right next to you, right? And we struck a conversation. Well, he ends up being the guy that actually owns the place. I mean, you kind of can imagine where the conversation went from there. I mean, we're all kind of passionate about the bourbons. We're asking him questions. He ends up being actually on the Bourbon Society, some sort of a title he's got with those guys for many, many years. And then we start talking into, you know, the fads and all the big names that you can't get anymore. He's like, well, let me tell you guys a couple of those that are flying under the radar that you really ought to get into and try. And hence, the old granted 114. So I tell you what, man. Can't beat it for the money. An excellent of the bourbon.
That's a great recommendation. I got to tell you right now. I stumbled on mine. There's no story or book that I just sort of researched into it. I just sort of stumbled upon it.
You're looking for a good mixer, huh?
I'll tell you a funny story about this Weller, though. Ruben and I were in somewhere Texas. Can't remember, some small town in the middle. Texas, and we're driving back, and Ruben goes, there's a liquor store, let's stop and see what kind of bourbons they have. So we pull in there, and this store is like this guy's an avid deer hunter, so there's deer racks everywhere. Ruben's like, I'm taking pictures of Ruben everywhere. And I walk up, and this bottle's typically like $50, but this guy has all these bottles for $25.
You kidding me?
Nope. So I'm like, well, we're coming with home. He's coming home with me.
why was it priced so low? Maybe it's because it's a small town in Texas.
Exactly. I don't know. So that's why it's sitting here. So, touche.
Congratulations. My God.
Thank you.
And you're smoking a cigar. What type of cigar are you smoking?
I'm smoking a Padron. I think it's a 8,000, I believe, Importado, something like that. So it's one of my favorites. It's a hand rolled. It's got great tobacco, you know, and it's just very smooth, not too harsh.
Yeah, is it drawn right? It's drawn well, right?
Oh, yeah. The ash just fell now. Unfortunately, you would have seen it.
Yeah, I'm on an Oliva kick. I like the product. I like what they provide. This is a Series 5 or V. And it's, once again, it's a great smoke, well manufactured, whatever hand draws well. And then, of course, Ruben has a pipe.
So I'm smoking a pipe. It's a pipe with some tobacco in it. And this is my newfound passion. My wife hates me for it. But there you go. You got to pick up some new hobbies with this COVID flying around.
Yeah, I've been very committed to the drinking.
Tell you what.
And the eating. Yeah.
Cheers to that.
Cheers. And I want to make sure that you listeners out there, this is going to be, we're going to be just very sort of easygoing, but we really are going to talk a little bit about some of the categories that I've been sort of preaching about, specifically with the COVID, the virus, the post, and now, and whatever, as companies. I believe, and I pose it out to you guys, I believe companies need to look at their business models today. And it has to come from the perspective of evaluating every aspect of your business. Everything should be up for grabs. By the way, I have my dogs here, and they get a little surly. So if you hear barking, I can't do anything about it. So for me, sort of in this sort of small round table, I think businesses have to build in resilience. You got to evaluate your business, because I think we were lazy pre-virus, and I think we have to be a little bit different post-virus. And then I have these categories of collaboration. I don't think we have all the answers. I think we have to collaborate in some way, shape, or form, not just internally, but externally with people who are struggling with challenges, and helping customers succeed through collaborative type of work. I also think innovation is going to take a big role, not just from a technology point of view, which is important, doing more with less, leveraging technology, but also the human element. What do we do? How do we, just be innovative and really push those envelopes. And then we can't just talk and talk and talk. We have to take action. And then the final component of this, four-legged stool is speed. I don't think we have time to just sort of lollygag like we did before. So when we start talking about digitization, we start talking about these initiatives that have been floating around, I think they've been extremely expedited. So what do you guys think about that? Tell me how you look at that particular sort of four-legged stool.
Well, I'll start, as the three of us know, and then listeners, nobody would have ever expected what's going on today. Right. I mean, not in a million years. So right now, all you hear in the news is about, how we're going to come out of this. And as organizations, we have to now change the models of how we make decisions. Right. Decisions. A lot of us get paid to make decisions. Right. As people. But we also have to have some type of technology that can support the decision-making process. We've been good at making decisions as organizations. We've been doing it well. We've not really had to be so agile, but all of a sudden we find ourselves like, uh-oh, the brakes have been put on. What are we going to do? Right. You want to add something to that, Ruben? I mean, on top of it.
No, it's just fascinating, actually, at the speed of change. So think about it a little bit, right? Because I think this situation, as unfortunate as it is, right, I think it kind of brings it home to the lightning speed that things can change nowadays, right? We were on the plane in customers' meetings, and I remember vividly the week of the of March 13th, because it's my birthday, too. But you're going, you're meeting with folks. On the way home, the news hits, hey, the rodeo's shut down. Hey, all public events are shut down. And then within two, three days, the economy comes to a grinding halt. All right. So that brings it kind of home, I believe, to all of us, really, how fast things can change, right?
Yeah.
I think the positive thing, or on the, another way of looking at it is, like, because you understand how quick things can change, then actually we can most likely change in a positive way or impact in a positive manner, right? This exponential speed of change, right? Within our organizations, departments, whatever we do for our living, right? And then how do you do it? And Scott, right? It's so funny, right? Talking about the speed, right? Scott and I have known each other for quite some time. We've done a podcast when I was with a previous organization.
It was the best podcast that I've ever done. And every time I tear up with just memories that are just so warm and tender in my heart.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the plug.
You said something about the dog, and then we saw your wife coming up too.
Yeah, and if you're out there on video, my wife, right, there she is right there. No.
Hello.
Hey, there she is. That's right. And that's Johnny, and you met him in Vegas. It's Johnny right there. Johnny,
that's right.
Vegas. Johnny Vegas.
There you go. That's real-time podcasting. So where were we?
But anyway, I mean, think about how fast things can change, right? So then I don't think we have the luxury of just kind of sitting around and waiting kind of for all things to fall into place. And quite frankly, that kind of brings me back to, like, so Scott, right? I reached out to you once I read one of your LinkedIn posts. Yeah. And literally it was the five principles that you've shared with us in the very beginning, right?
That's right.
Collaborate, innovate, action, and speed, right? And then another thing that kind of like caught my eye, because I really love the concept, look, stop with the pride, ask for help. And doesn't it apply to just about everybody, right? No matter what you do, really, right? There's probably a better way of doing things without you having to reinvent the proverbial wheel, right? So
there's a couple of things that I always struggle with. And one is, of course, admitting, and this is a fault, admitting I need help. I mean, I don't think that in a pre-virus, we're always sort of, quote, self-sufficient. And now I think about it because, well, that's the only thing I can do, either eat barbecue chips and think about it or smoke a cigarette and think about it. So I think about it all the time. And I realize that the challenges that we have going forward are pretty big, pretty complex, and they do revolve around speed, but also the and I have a question for you guys, but also the willingness to fail, because you're not going to hit home runs every time you're at bat. You might strike out, but you're going to get back up. And that to me is always fascinating, because people don't like to fail either. People don't want to be vulnerable. People don't want, but we have to be vulnerable and we have to ask for help. And I don't like to fail. Nobody does, but we learn from that.
Right. Right. Well, you know, like I said earlier, I was reading a book, last week, or I'll probably read a book a week, so I could quote lots of books, but I was reading one in one of the books, it was Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday, right? And Ryan Holiday is all about stoicism, and I've been into this stoicism for the past.
I don't know. You're going to have to define stoicism outside of the fact that I don't even know how to spell the damn.
Well, it's all about, you know, finding your inner peace, finding your inner zen, right? Stillness is the key, right? Yeah. You know, you don't react, right? Look at things for the good, right? Don't always, you know, I have a bracelet. I'm not a tattoo guy, right? So I have two things written on this bracelet. One is lizard brain, and lizard brain is, you know, I'm quick to react if somebody comes and says something to me, and I want to, like, instead, I feel like a fight or flight, right? So how do I control that? And the other one is ego is the enemy. So it's all about, you know, looking at yourself and acknowledging that I have faults, I will fail. So how do I become better? Which is kind of what you alluded to.
Yeah, and you have to always sort of be challenged by that. And you know, the biggest concern I have is I think that there is a sense of acknowledgement that there's, this is where we are today, right? And I just don't want to go back to the old way. I think that there's a lot of camaraderie, a lot of collaboration that has to take place. And I think it's positive. I think it's a positive thing in a world of crap right now. You know, I just think it is.
Exactly. That's what I was going to, before I digressed on my stoic journey here.
well, better because of that. Now I know what it is.
We get paid to make decisions, right? That's what we do every day. So the ideas start, you know, and then we put those ideas into action, right? So decision takes decisions, take investment, they take money, they take time, right? So before this happened, we were kind of chugging along, making decisions, you know. We didn't feel an urgency.
No.
All of a sudden now we're like, uh-oh, we got to make decisions fast.
Yes.
We got to be agile.
Yes.
And those decisions have to drive some benefit and action quickly. So it's going to create the decisions are all about collaboration, innovation, right? Action. So how are we going to do that? And we're going to have to do it some way and come up with that. Sorry.
You absolutely, when you first talked about it is the model of decisions. And I don't understand that because the old way was always, And this is not a slam on any CRM or any other system. Sometimes we just get lazy and crap goes in it and crap comes out and we have a hard time making decisions and so on and so forth. But how do we improve our model of decisions? How? At speed.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's actually fascinating. All right, Scott, when I was reaching out to you, I was like, man, I'm learning new things and they're just fascinating to me. So let's just kind of tell a story a little bit. So to kind of put things in perspective. Fall back on what I know, what I've kind of grown up in the EAM world, right? Having worked for organizations that have built some well-known asset management solutions, right? But at the end of the day, when you kind of look back, yes, you can build a system, right, that does what it's supposed to do. But then the question is, within the broader organization, right, does the output of that system have a voice, right? Are you bringing that particular solution? I don't really care what it is, whether it's EAM or ERP or CRM, right?
The system is an enabler to be able to hopefully
correct.
Collect data, slice it and dice it. But mm-hmm. I like the fact that you said, does it have a voice? That's a pretty interesting observation.
Within the larger enterprise, because ultimately the organization, right, it's kind of a sum of all the decisions that are being made collectively. And those decisions impact not just that particular department or particular group, but the broader enterprise, right?
Yeah.
So here's the fascinating thing, right? And this is where I think technology starts playing a role, is can you, right, teach all those systems a common language, right, that all of a sudden everybody has a common denominator when they evaluate, right, the ask, and obviously it's an ask most likely for funds, right, or time, or resources, right, and how do you allocate those resources, right, and are you making the best decision, right, and Johnny's got some really, really two cool analogies, Johnny, if you want to share, right, in terms of, you know, prioritize versus optimize, right, and then kind of the, almost like a philosophical quirky question, well, which one's better, right?
Right. So the first thing is when the. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Scott.
Talk to me, Zen Master.
Well, I guess the first
stoic,
thing is
stoic. Stoic, not Zen.
Stoicism. So when you talk about the common language, that feeds off of the ISO 55000, right? That was what the framework's all about, right? Creating that common language, right? So everybody says, oh, we're going to create this framework and we're going to talk about all this common language and bring it. But how are we really truly doing it? And you know, what systems are in place to try to bring that common language, do the interpretation, the voice that Ruben's talking about? So that's one thing we could talk about after this. But the example is pretty cool. So I'm in New York City, downtown, by World Trade Center, where the Millennium Hilton is. And we have a meeting. And the meeting's running over. And it's running to the point. And I have to get to JFK and fly to Los Angeles because I have a meeting the next day. And it's an early morning meeting. So I can't miss my flight, right? And so I am now cutting into my time to get from JFK from downtown to JFK. I got an hour and 10 minutes, and I haven't even made the decision what mode of transportation I'm going to take. Now, the old days, I would have just said, I can either take the train, I could take a taxi, right? And we didn't have Uber then, but let's just say with Uber, I can pick one.
Yeah, but right? You didn't have any analytics telling you. It's just like, I got to get to the airport. I'll just take the train. Or you just sort of dive into a decision and then go.
Exactly. But so what I did was, the great thing about Uber and these little things right here, which is, her, you know, godsend. Yeah. I go in and I go to Uber and I go, where I'm at, JFK. And now Uber brings you up more options than just Uber. It'll say, if you take the train, this is the cost and this is the time.
No way. So, Uber does that? The app, yes, does that?
Yes. So I have, actually, maybe I use Google Maps. I might have used Google Maps.
That is true, because, but I didn't know that Google, continue. I'm sorry.
Okay. Either way.
I remember to do something.
I Johnny, came up with.
Uber's going to monetize on that idea, man. You better.
Call me Uber. So,
you got to throw an R.
But technology gave me three options. Option one was to train. And I think it was Google Maps that I used. And it said the train, if I took, and it gave me two options, it's $7 to go, because you got to, if you go to JFK, you can't just go direct. You got to go to Jamaica Station and then you got to take another train. So it's about $8. And it said, it's going to take an hour and 10 minutes. Oop. Well, I'm cutting in. If there's any mistake, I'm done. Right. Yeah. Uber was $120 Uber X. And it said it was going to be between 55 minutes and 60 minutes, still only leaving me 10 minutes. And then it gives me this option, this helicopter, 30 minutes. And the cost, $119, $1 cheaper than the Uber X.
Now, I have to ask this question. Does Uber X know that the fact that a freaking helicopter is cheaper and faster than their service?
Well, in New York City, they do it because there's not a lot of places have that, right? The helicopter option, right?
It's pretty damn cool.
So I took, of course, the option where I didn't miss my flight, and I took the Uber helicopter. It was $119, and I got there on time, basically on time where I was waiting for my flight, okay? And I didn't miss it. Now, but if you look at it, it also, if I'd have taken the train, it's the best option for my company. It's the best option for the environment. It's, you know, it's the cheaper option. But I would have missed my flight, more than likely, right? And then I would have had to pay a change fee, or I had to stay at a hotel, miss my meeting the next day, and et cetera. The same option with, I would have spent $120, not so much eco-friendly, not really benefiting the company, so I might have missed my flight. The third option, though, is the cheapest option, but what about perception? From a perception standpoint, who does this guy think? He's taking a helicopter. But technology gave me that opportunity to quickly find the most optimized path to where I wanted to go. If I didn't have that, like you said, we'd have just done in one sentence. So think about it. You know, we're never going to take the human emotion out of action. Action, a human always is going to have to take action. But technology gets us there much, much faster, much more efficient, and it's aligned to our, you know, values and goals and objectives. See,
an interesting thought is like, okay, that's pretty damn cool, right? That's today. You can do that today. I always think like, I wonder where it's going, because that's still sort of version one, maybe version two of this sort of decision ability. I want to know where it's going, right? It's a fascinating conversation to have on just technology making decisions far more efficient.
Well, think about it, right? So I'll take a crack at it. And granted, I joined the organization fairly recently, so I'm still fascinated by the potential of some of those technologies, right? But aren't you making those decisions today? Just like Johnny said, right? In the old days, what are you going to do? Well, I kind of know I can take the train or I can take a cab, one or two, right?
Yeah.
But here's where the analytics come into play. Here's where this churning of this metadata that's available out there that's actually become digestible to us as consumers comes into play.
Hey, did you say metadata?
I think I just stopped. I think I'm running a little on bourbon.
I always say it's the decision making that comes into play. Right?
It's decision. But as humans, though, can you really compete with a machine, right? When you make those decisions, and I'll venture to say that maybe you could, if there's only onesie twosies, right? One, if option one versus option two. But when you got like 100, thousands of decisions that you got to make, right?
Right.
There's thousands of competing asks or investments or projects that you got to make a cohesive, coherent decision, right? That ultimately serves your organization the best, right? So you're doing it today. You're doing it with let's say legacy technologies. You're doing it like kind of the old ways. You're sitting in a room, you're debating, you're arguing, then the best politician wins, or maybe the person that squeaks the loudest, right? The squeaky wheel gets the oil. What if, right? What if there's actually a way to bring all this together and digitize that process, right? Or automate that process to a certain extent. And guess what, right? All the constraints that Johnny plugged into that decision, hey, I got to make it. I got to make it by this time. I got a certain budget. Obviously, I wasn't going to spend $1,000 for a helicopter, right? What if I don't make it, right? What are the repercussions? Now, combine that, multiplied by thousands of those competing interests, right? Can we really make sense of it in using, you know, some of the legacy systems already where we used to, right? That's the question, right? And that's what we're trying to help folks with.
Yeah, so here's the interesting thing. I'm putting on my company hat, and this is sort of the typical company out there. I've got a ton of legacy systems, right? Mm-hmm. I've got a spreadsheet over here, and I've got this old system there, and I got this new system here, and I got, man, this is on-prem, this is in the cloud. It's like this portfolio of mishmash, whatever. Are you saying that I'm not knocking those legacy systems. I'm not knocking the. You can improve upon it, but I'm not knocking that. I'm looking at it from my perspective. If I can take all of these systems that I have collecting data, well, let's just assume that it's great data, right? We're not talking about data cleaning or anything like that. Now I can pull it all in from these disconnected systems and create a cogent message that is in line with maybe our business objectives. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
Think about this, right? You got right now, we've got projects that have been approved, that or investments. We're going to buy some technology. We need to replace a bunch of assets. We're building a new facility. So there's like hundreds of these out there. And now people are asked, hey, tell us, we don't have the budget anymore, so who can live without what?
See, and you're bringing up a great point. And the human condition is always asking the why. Can I get this information? I'm not just sitting around. And I think it's important information. Can I get it, and can I align it with another data point and then draw a conclusion? Can I do that? And that's sort of that human element that will always sort of sit there and say, what about this? What about this? What about this? And then once you go down that road and you don't have a layer that says, I hear you, I can just tweak this, do this, change that, boom, here it is. It's not, once again, to your point, Johnny, it's not agile. Today it's not agile. Tomorrow it has to be agile. And that agility has to have a technology solution in the middle that can evolve and grow with just the human condition itself.
Yeah, human emotion is the most critical thing that holds us back, right? Technology takes human emotion out of the equation. It brings science to decision making. And when you bring science to decision making, just like Uber doesn't know me from Adam. Uber just said, hey, this is the most optimal path. You want it? Take it. You don't? That's up to you. If you don't take it, this is the risk you're going to incur, right? And that's so we got to, if we're going to want to compare apples to oranges to giraffes, we got to bring it some common scale, bring all that information in so we can make those decisions. I don't know what you think. You want to add to that, Ruben?
I mean, it's the commonality of do they all speak the same language, right? Can you bring everybody to the table that speaks the same language, that uses a standard system of value, that does the risk exposure benefit calculation the same way, right? That aligns with my priorities as an organization, right? Can we do that? Yeah, we can do that today, right? But it's cost effective. It takes a lot of time, right? So Scott, I really like the way you've actually kind of equated with one of your fundamentals, right? Agility, yeah. Right? Yeah, we can do it today, of course, right? We've got departments, we've got groups, we've got tens, hundreds, multiple, very elaborate spreadsheets that can potentially mitigate that.
Yeah.
But man, what happens? Look at this. COVID-19 hit, and it hit within a span of a couple of days where we started this conversation, right?
Yeah.
So how do you now model that? How do you run the what-if scenarios? And those are very complex scenarios, right, when you think about it, right? And see, hey, what if? Because all of a sudden, let's take utilities, for example, right? Now we've got customers that are not going to pay their bills. The budgets are automatically reduced. Where do I put the money? Right, so I can still maintain a safe environment. I still deliver the service in a safe way, right? While still mitigating for the situation that I live in, right? What if I got more money to spend for some, in some instance, right?
I'm telling you, this is a badass solution here, and the reason is, it's like I'm going to put my car, the hat on, my business hat on, and the business hat is one. I have these legacy systems. They were pre-virus. This is where it's at. I have what I have. And now I'm going to have to try to figure out how I can create a solution that can truly adapt and then pull in this information. And it would seem to me, from my perspective, business guy, I am going to look at a solution like that because I'm not going to have a capital expenditure on buying another doggone system. I need to live with the system, my portfolio as is, but I have to optimize it in such a way that I can get information out.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll give you another good example that I have. And sorry, I think I went to deep sleep on my computer for a second there.
By the way, I was just jaw jacking, and Ruben was jaw jacking. We just carried on without you.
I'm a big college football fan. I live in Greenville, South Carolina. So does Ruben, and we go to Clemson football games. I've been going to Clemson football games since for 20 something years now. Since I graduated from Clemson. And I've always taken the most optimal path, right? I take the most optimal path and that I believe in. Now with Google Maps, every Saturday that I go to a football game, it doesn't take me the same way. It'll look at traffic. It'll look at accidents. It'll look at – and it'll change. You know, I mean, can I beat Google Maps? I could never beat Google Maps. Google Maps, there's no way I could try to beat Google Maps, but without that optimization algorithm, I'm relying on it, and it gets me there. Now, you could say, well, it's a football game. Why do you got to get there fast? I got to get there to tailgate and drink and smoke cigars, so of course I got to get there fast.
And your priorities right.
There it is, man. You're talking to a group of people. It's like, I'm with you. Well, are you apologizing to me? I understand. I got to eat that rib, and I got to smoke that cigar now. With the Google Map analogy, as I go off on a tangent, is Google just pulling in information from where are they getting that information? Are there sensors out there on the old road, or are they pulling in, you know, I got my old cell phone. Are they pulling in information from that cell phone?
I think they're tapping into a bunch of sources. we can kind of go conspiracy theory right now. So I don't know Google Maps, but here's what I started using. Go ahead.
If I mention a barbecue on this, I guarantee I'm going to get some advertisements on rib cooking. Because I mentioned ribs.
Hey, listen, Johnny and I can have a whole different conversation around barbecue. So maybe the next one we do is like barbecuing. Yeah. But here's another thing. So maybe not that familiar with how Google kind of like gets the data, but like Waze, for example, right? It's a little tool that I started using recently because I keep commuting back and forth. And I think it's crowdsourcing. People actually use the application and feed it data. Right. So they are saying, you know, you as a consumer actually provide information and then they optimize the routing or they optimize the speed that you should be driving it. And they give you heads up on accidents, police, whatever. Right. So, that's kind of interesting. I thought like this Waze thing, and I just kind of started using it here recently.
Well, right. Well, the same thing with decision making, right? decision making, you know, with if you have a technology that's looking at you and you say, hey, and I know a lot of the asset management guys are gonna, they know this when they go, hey, your budget's been cut by 20%. Good luck. Mm-hmm. What impact's that gonna have on the on my, well, just deal with it. Deal whatever it is.
You know that happens every doggone time.
Yep.
They look at their financials and say, okay, cut here.
So what do you do then, Scott? What do you do? Right? Put your, again, back your business head. You're running a company or you're running an organization. You're dealing with all of this equipment. You got to keep them running. Your budget's just being cut. What do you do?
You're going to have to look at, sorry. Mm-hmm. I went down the wrong pipe, but that's okay. I can handle it. So you're going to have to look at the data from the perspective. Yesterday, pre-virus, you cut budget. You just cut budget. You don't care. You don't even look at the implications. You just say,
right,
got to do it. Get the bottom line. You need the ability to be able to say, okay, I made that decision, or I should think about making that decision, or I should say, hey, I got to cut budget. Let's figure out the best way to do that and then reallocate based off of some collection of information that everybody agrees to and be able to make that decision in an effective way. Speed.
That's exactly right. Right. So you've got to share with the enterprise, right, what is the impact of this action, right? You got to do it Johnny on the fly, and you got to be able to say, all right, that's fine. We cut the budget, but here's the impact, right? From a reliability, safety, public perception, regulatory compliance. Here's
risk,
right? So, but if, and if everybody speaks the same language, right, then that ought to be like, all right, folks, that's what it means. So what do we do, right? So it gives you actually data that you can actually act on. So it's a fascinating story that I've heard, and Johnny, maybe you're the better one to say, but it's a client, right, that we've been working with for many, many years, right? And it's again, it's in the utilities space and publicly owned, and they were asked to cut budget, and I think the number came down. I'm not going to name any names. I think it was a 17%. Right. Just, you got to cut your budget 17%. So through technology, and they apply some of the algorithms that exist, and the fact that they've actually captured all their investments to one cohesive system and kind of making sense of their world, their own world, they were able to go back to the regulator and say, like, that's fine. This is what it's going to look like over a 2, 5, 10-year period. This is the impact, short-term and long-term, of us cutting the budget 17% today.
Yeah. See, and
the net result... Yep. Was them actually increasing it by 32%, I believe, or
see,
whatever the number was.
That I was getting ready to say, there's the one side of the equation of saying, hey, I got to cut budget, got to blah, 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 because my rate case is whatever, and it is what it is. But then there's the other side of, like, okay, we got to create budgets. We have all this data. How do we effectively and most efficiently create a budget that has real sustainable solutions going forward? And it's not just cutting budgets. You also can apply it to creating budgets and forecasting out the impact of that. Not just because I'm sitting in a doggone conference room and I'm very compelling because I want, you know, this particular project. And somebody says, okay, I'm done talking to Scott. He's very argumentative and loud, and I'm tired and I got to go eat lunch.
Yeah.
And you know, you've been in meetings like that. It's like, yeah, go. Here's your budget, that type of thing. That's interesting.
That's the voice, right? It's what Ruben said.
Yeah.
You bring a voice to things that they didn't have a voice before.
I think that's it. Maybe because you guys live in that stuff, I think that what you're talking about, what you're advocating, is something that goes in line with what we're talking about from an innovation point of view, that It's not future technology. You can do that today.
Yep.
And I think today is really the time to have that conversation, because you know as well as I do, the budget that was created, whatever, fiscal, I don't care when it was created, but I guarantee you it doesn't apply today.
Right. So, nope, not yet.
And then what do you do with future budgets because of all of this, you know, stuff, this storm that's taking place? I think,
and think about this one. Okay, let's just say you can be agile. Let's just say you can get in a room, right? Your revenue's been cut by 50%. Your capital dollars have been cut, and everybody gets in a room. Well, we can't get in a room. We're social distancing. How are we going to do that? Over Zoom?
Yeah.
Are that many people? Yeah. Right? Without something sitting there crunching and doing something, how are we going to make those decisions? That's another key thing to think about.
I think it's a brilliant approach. And the reason I say that, especially now when we're all remotely just sort of dancing around and the walls are closing in and you're in your backyard and I'm in my backyard and we're all in our backyards. And fortunately for you, I have pants on for once. But the fact that you can get that data, because it's in the cloud, it's someplace, you can pull it. That's a whole nother conversation, cloud versus prem. Not going to go there, but let's just, now it makes remote conferencing, remote meetings, whatever, more effective. And you will, you know, and I think you'll get to a point where you just make better decisions faster. You're nimble, you're agile, you're speed. And now you get to move on to things that are important, a little bit more complex, but you can do it.
Right.
I think
exactly.
It's good, man. Copperleaf, baby.
Copperleaf, baby. Maple Copperleaf.
Maple Copperleaf.
Hey, you guys out of Vancouver? Where are you out of?
Yes, Vancouver, Canada is
it's a great place, by the
way. Is the headquarters. Beautiful, beautiful city.
Isn't it
gorgeous?
Spectacular.
Gorgeous.
It's yeah. I went up there with a family vacation, of course. We did all of the stuff. Yeah. And it's gorgeous. It's breathtaking. If you walk away and you're not like, wow, that was okay. Nah, then you're not looking, because it's all in front of you and it's in, you know, stereo. But I like the fact that you're in Vancouver. The company's in Vancouver. You're changing and I love the innovation. And it's not a plug for Copperleaf. I'm always interested in professionals like you guys that are just thinking differently, because it seemed like an industry for forever, let's say pre-virus. These conversations were great. They're fine. Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. But we do it this way. We're in this trench, and we're not going to change. And we go to work, and it's a doggone dogfight each and every day. Now you can't do that. You can't afford that.
You know what? I can't wait. I can't wait for a software that can optimize how I think and make decisions in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, slap that thing on your stool. Whatever that thing is. Yeah, thank you very much. I'm brilliant now. Because I've got a patch that sits on my temple. But
I got all these ideas, and then I'll say, hey, give me the most optimal idea plan for my head. And it'll go, boop. And it has to align to my wife's objectives, right? So strategic objectives.
There you go. There you go.
How men's mind work versus women's mind. And it's like, I'm always sort of like the process flow map. Square, rectangle, square. Is there a decision there? That's how I look at things. So let's just say, where do you see it all going? I think this is great. This is now. This is today. And, of course, you just can't say, all right, we've reached it, and this is where we're at. Where are we going? I don't know. that's where you guys step in.
Where are we going, right? I mean, that's interesting, right? Because, Scott, I want to take it, right?
Yeah.
So, it's interesting times, man. I think people are going to realize real quick that they have to get better, right? They have to get better and faster at decision making. I don't care what you do, but out of this whole thing, when we come out of it, right, things are probably going to move at warp speed. There's going to be a lot of innovation. There's going to be a lot of new technology that's going to be introduced to the market. There's probably going to be a whole new way we live our lives. Let's call it for what it is, right? Mm-hmm. And I tell you what. People have to start thinking, how am I going to operate into this world?
Yeah.
And here's another thing that I kind of like from your tenants, right? Is like, don't be arrogant. Ask for help. Oh. Right? What does it cost to have a conversation right now? Hell, we all got time. I mean, I love having the opportunity to be here with you guys, you know, in the afternoon, right? Business hour is gone, right? But it's awesome to kind of get the juices flowing and kind of share, right? Share ideas and ask, right? Hey, if you're in a situation where you're going to need some help, ask for help. And I tell you what, you'd be surprised of who's going to step in and maybe offer an insight, offer a different way of looking at things. So
it's as much as I hate going through all of this and I hate having a conversation and there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of struggles that are taking place. If there's a positive lining to whatever this is, it's the fact that people are actually prioritizing their thinking. Like I can't do business as usual. And if you come from that perspective, if you can't do business as usual, but you want to keep your doors open and you want to continue to, you know, expand your market share, whatever the goals and objectives are, you're going to have to just think differently and prioritize properly and be all about speed, agile, nimble, whatever it might be. And you got to do it today, because if you don't, we as humans, and I don't have any knowledge or data to back it up except for seeing people's behaviors, we get right back in the same old doggone rut.
Yes.
And then when that happens, you know, how do you get out of that? And companies that are talking like you guys are talking and realizing the value of what you guys are talking about and recognize the necessity, like helping your customers succeed, right? Hey, we appreciate you being our customers and we want to collaborate with you and we want you to succeed. And these are the things that we've discovered free of charge. Don't worry about it. Here, do it. Because that's fascinating to me.
But that's what, so you kind of hit on something, and that's what I kind of wanted to hit on, right? If you kind of ask for a different opinion, or maybe like a reach out and say, here's two things. Don't reinvent the wheel because it might already be there, right? And if you ask for help, people are, at this stage, I feel like we're in a situation that's very interesting, right? People are willing to lend a hand, right? And be like, hey, look, have you thought about this way? Or have you thought about doing things? And it's just fascinating how many people actually are willing to step in, man. I mean, I'm look at it. You look at it and take it out of the industrial world that we live in and trying to optimize business process and this and that. But even in our everyday life, right, the grocery stores, the medical professions, right, the first responders, all those folks, man, I mean, they're all stepping up and they're willing to kind of help out. And even us with our neighbors, right, the elderly, it's amazing what's going on right now. So this is the time to kind of ask, right, set the pride aside, right, and have an open mind. Because you know what? You might just come out with something that's just fundamentally changes the way you're doing things for the better, right? We all come out of this.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely spot on. All right, we're going to have to wrap this up. I'm pretty much down to the nub of my cigar, and I'm out. I'm out of.
I thought you were going to say you're down to the bottom of your bourbon. And
check it out. See, it's like, and I didn't bring it out here because I wasn't planning. I should have, but I.
Oh, no. I know myself.
You guys got the bottles going in. Like,
some of those awkward movements here were because of.
Son of a gun, man. They were thinking ahead, and I'm all stuck with Mike. But, are you guys active out on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, Ruben, you got to be a little bit better than you were, because I thought you died. And then when you responded to one of the questions, damn, there's Ruben. He's great, man. He's fantastic. I remember the podcast I did with him, and my tears. He
was so fantastic. Scott, I tell you what, and I loved you. I loved you when we met in Atlanta, about a half a year ago. And I tell you what, I'm going to wear those socks next time you and I are in person.
Hey, by the grabbing way, Johnny, you're going to get a pair. Just because.
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Johnny, you and I got to sport the Scott socks, man. They're awesome.
The Scott socks.
Yeah. I love it, man. You guys are wonderful. Okay, this is one of the things. I remember in our last podcast that we did, Ruben, I was sitting there just struggling with your damn name. And I was trying to pronounce it like you pronounce it. And, of course, I failed like a doggone miserable pig. So your last name? Say it.
Stinchell.
See, I say it that way, and you tell me, it's not that way.
Come on, man. You did all right.
No, I didn't. Right. So.
Look at me. Oh, can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it. We were in Vegas.
Yeah. All the fun.
I interviewed Johnny and the same thing when I interviewed him. It was an emotional time. It was a life changer when I interviewed Johnny. Ran off and I was still stuck in the salt mine interviewing people. But he was having a good time. So anyway, you listeners out there, we're going to have to wrap this up. We're going to have all this information on their particular podcast. I'm not going to let you go. We're going to have all the links, all the way of contacting them, everything that you can possibly imagine. So there's no excuse. You've got to reach out. And I guarantee you, Ruben, Johnny, if somebody says, hey, I just want to know a little bit more, you're going to say, okay, cool. Here's the information. Right?
You're going to do.
Sir.
Yeah, see? See, so collaborate, baby. They're available to collaborate. Thank you, guys. This was an absolute ball. I'm going to do this again. This is the number one of many. We're going to do some more. If I can find more people that like to smoke cigars and drink bourbon, I'll let vodka peoples on.
The next one with Ruben and I will be barbecuing bourbon. We'll get the green eggs.
That would be awesome. I'm in.
Right behind me. Yes.
I'm in. Let's do it.
All right, you listeners out there, there it is, man. Laid the whole truth bomb down there. We're going to be doing a barbecue, and now I got to think about the one. Okay, I got an idea that I'm going to be cooking. So, thank you, guys. This was absolutely a spectacular interview. I loved it. It's not an interview. It's a little roundtable, a little fun.
Yeah,
I like it. Thank you, guys. And you listeners, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. So, thank you very much.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, once again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. That is Johnny Bofilios and Ruben Stanchel. They're with a company called Copperleaf Technologies out of Canada. And try to change my mind. Try. But it's not going to work. I just want to give you the FYI that you do. You want to make decisions, right? Faster, the good decisions, faster, with a higher level of confidence. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about that data. Bring it on in to make and reduce that risk big time. You got to do it. Reach out to both Johnny and Ruben. Find out more because you need to do this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, just FYI. Okay, once again, we're going to be talking about collaboration. We're going to be talking about innovation. We're going to be talking about taking action. And we're going to be talking about speed. That's what we have to do. That's where we got to focus. You don't have all the answers. That's why you collaborate. And technology or innovation through technology, how you're looking at people and your business model, you've got to be innovative, right? You've got to think about disruption. And then the last one, you got to take action. You don't have time to waste because I'm telling you right now, that company that you're competing against is going to take your market share because maybe they're thinking about that. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, innovate, change the world. That's what you guys are doing. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be back later.